I wish you didn't have to see the things you're going to see. I wish our culture wasn't the way that it is, and we show the things every day in TV and movies and videos. But what you're going to see in Hell House is a reality check, where we reinterpret the images. And I really feel it's our responsibility as the church to warn our culture like a watchman warning someone of danger. And it's my responsibility and the church's responsibility, and I believe even others' responsibility, to warn them of the coming danger and what our culture is facing. If I don't do that, then the blood is not only on your hands for your sins, but it's also on my head and my hands for your sins as well.
Well, if you're like millions of Americans, you'll be taking your kids trick-or-treating this Halloween or visiting a haunted house.
Well, for the last 21 days, over 12,000 people have gone through this controversial haunted house. Controversial because of scenes like this, a graphic abortion.
This is Hell House, home of dramatized gang rape, incurable disease, suicide, and abortion, the shock of which Trinity Church of Cedar Hill hopes will disturb young people into giving their lives to God this Halloween.
It's a tough lesson being taught in the house of the Lord, and some of the kids who've gone through Hell House say it does the trick.
We can only portray so much with makeup and corny lines and soundtracks, but God does the difference.
Let's go, Lord, with worship. Gabe's going to lead us.
Hear us, Lord. Hear us now, Lord. Have mercy.
I pray right now, Lord God, personally, that you would just begin to just remove all distractions from our walk with you, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you lift up a standard right now against it, Lord. God, that we do this for a purpose. It's not just to do a fundraiser or just to put on another program at Trinity, Lord. God, that we would understand that it is to reach the lost and that there's hope. There's hope in your holy name. Amen.
You know, we believe that a soul, a life without Jesus Christ is, you know, you're maybe alive physically on the outside walking the earth, but, you know, eventually, you know, you're going to have to face eternity and you're dead and your sins, the Bible says. And so we're just titling the theme this year, The Walking Dead. It's our 10th year to do this. It's Hell House 10, The Walking Dead. Is our youth ministry driven, and even our church, is driven by fear? No, is fear a part of it? Absolutely. A part of salvation is being, you know, afraid of going to hell. And so what are our themes that we deal with in Hell House? We deal with family violence. We deal with suicide. We deal with abortion. We deal with drugs. We deal with alcohol, drunkenness, drunks. So we're not changing the themes. What we want to change is the way we do it. So the main reason we're here today is to come up with new, you know, what new twists can we do on a drunk driving? What new twist can we do? How can we differently do the drug deal? If we, you know, it's dealing with drugs. Get out of the box.
Well, we did the Columbine scene last year. It was the second year in a row we'd actually patterned a real-life situation. We did Paducah, Kentucky in 98. And so it seemed natural for us to do the Columbine scene in 99 because it had just happened. It was relevant to our kids. And didn't really think at first it would cause a lot of trouble. But then as we got close to it, I realized it would. And it wasn't trouble, but it was just a lot of interest.
he raises his hand in the back of the class and starts to say something, but mumbling and stuttering. And the class starts laughing and making fun of him because he can't get it out. And you hear the demon behind him saying, just say goodbye to him, Jerry. Just tell him goodbye. And he'll just be like crying. He'll say goodbye, goodbye to everyone. And he'll pull out a gun and just shoot himself in front of the class.
I'm hearing it for the first time, and so this is how I'm perceiving it. I just think our society is going to say, oh, it's just the Hell House group again trying to produce another Columbine issue.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them saying that.
Heather talked about homosexuality, dealing with a gay bar and having two girls hitting on one another.
I really don't want to do that. The way we do it, even it's almost bad enough, even just being in the hospital bed there for that moment. And so that's probably as close as I want to get.
I think it's getting very, very evident in our culture. I have at least one lesbian couple coming to Second L every single day.
It's same reason we don't do a boyfriend girlfriend scene in L House, because you're just. You're just together so much over that period of time. I just don't want to go there.
In the Hell scene, you and I talked about the fact that the buildings are higher this year. We cut out some of the floor and right in front of the bridge, and we create a plexiglass scene underneath it, and there's people underneath.
You can see their hand. You can kind of see part of their face. They're trying to escape, and they're trapped.
What was that whole thing?
Here's the layout.
Okay. Hell would be like, I guess, people in kind of the rivers of lava you see when volcanoes erupt. That's kind of what I would see hell like, I guess.
I think hell is everybody's own experience. I think it'd be your worst fears brought out and just replayed over and over for the rest of eternity.
Hell is a place of everlasting torment and punishment.
Just constant agony and burning in your body and outside your body. I think what happened is just flashbacks of all the time you had to accept Jesus, all the time you chose to do wrong, just flashing in front of you and torturing you, saying, why did I do that?
But the Lord is good and faithful. Someone tell me a reason why we do Hell House. There we go. We reach the lost. Last year we had 12,000 individuals come through Hell House. That's just phenomenal. 12,000 people. What an awesome harvest the Lord has given us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Okay, I want you to hear me. It's going to take a lot of work. A lot of physical labor. And we need your help. If you want to try out for a new scene, just come up here and grab the scene. Go home, practice it, and come back tomorrow or Tuesday and try out.
I can hear you yell, oh, it's called, what do you mean that one word to another? Not one word about what? My plan is going on. Just for the last time, get in your room.
I hate you. I hate you. You'll never touch me again.
Yeah, just follow the script as she does it.
Yeah, go ahead and start your first one.
Start there.
Besides, it's your own fault. And what if you were pregnant? Do you really want to be your own sister's mother? And that guy, is he going to ever want you, knowing that you slept with your own father?
Stacy and Jen, can we go again?
Yes, that's right, Jen.
That's right, Jen. It's too late. You killed your baby. You're a murderer, Jen.
Officer, did we kill someone here? Oh, no. Oh, God, please don't let it be Melissa. Oh, it's me. I'm only 17. I gotta stay at game next week. I gotta full ride the tech.
I would like to be something other than a drug deal scene, whatever that may be, because I haven't got the chance to do anything other than the drug deal scene. Whatever you guys feel, let the spirit lead you.
Sure.
I'm praying that the spirit will lead you away from the drug deal scene.
Okay, how about the occult? Let's try the occult scene.
I have completely deceived this girl. I gave her the first taste of the occult when she was just a kid reading Goosebumps.
Okay, are you going to say it again?
You've lost her.
What? No. I can't be dead. You? I can't believe you convinced me to get drunk. I should have gotten away from you the second that you started drinking. This is all your fault. I'm sorry, Melissa. I didn't know. You didn't know? You went to church every Sunday. So did I. I should have known. I never should have listened to you.
That's good. Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you very much, Stacey. You can keep that.
That's yours.
Oh,
that's ours.
This one.
Thank you. This is yours.
That was phenomenal. Wow.
There's like four major female parts, and so they're in high demand. And so a lot of people have good acting ability, so you have to kind of sort through them and look at faithfulness, you know, commitment. Generally, if they're faithful, you know, to the church and the youth group, and they've been committed, you know, they'll be committed, and they're not going to quit halfway through the month of October.
Please be home.
They get real intense, like the Suicide Girls. It's a real intense, emotionally intense part for the girls. So
there's nothing left to live for. Do it.
We have a lot of people that are really talented. I think we have a pretty big pool to pull from, to bring from, so. I used to do the Suicide Girl, and that's when the scene was connected with the incest, the father incest thing, and so I never could relate to it. And it was no big deal until one night I looked at the crowd come through the door, it's a normal thing, and I'd always pan the crowd to see if I knew anybody, and at the end of the line was the guy that had raped me 2 years before. So that was a major shock, and that was probably the best acting job I ever did in my life. But when it came time for the suicide and the death monitor was saying all of the lines, you know, nobody's going to want you, you're garbage, you're damaged goods, what guy's ever going to want you, just give up on your life, and I'm doing my responses, I finally had a revelation that not only was I not over this, but that I had been in the same position as this girl I was playing. That night was when I forgave the guy and just had the most connection with the character that I ever had had in my life. And so that was a very interesting Hell House year for sure.
There are five of us, so two eggs a pop makes a lot of scrambled eggs. Time to start the bath routine. Okay, Chrissy, bath time. Come on. Alex. Alexandra. You know, what's interesting is that this year she decided that she might want to play another part other than the Lady of Leisure. I think she's going to try out for the abortion scene. That's interesting. Okay. Let's go drive the hair upstairs with Alex. Jamie, come on. The key here is to get as much done as possible before we run out of water. The teenager has a tendency to use enormous amounts of water. Hello. This is not how we take a bath. Okay. I'll be right back. You're just trying to finish washing your face. What are you doing? In the shower for an hour. Where'd you go?
I took a shower.
Oh. Your food's getting cold. Come here, Jamie. Hey, up.
Finally, all 17 elephants have come
to work together. Come here, your food's getting cold. Oh, no. We have a seizure. Yes, I'm being serious. We have a seizure. Okay. Okay, sweetheart. Oh, God. Come on, put your hand in this. Come on, God. Oh, yes. Never mind. Yeah, okay, never mind. He's out of the seizure. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. Oh, my. I spoke the word of God, and you came out of your seizure, son. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He saw something quite interesting. He was in a full-blown seizure and just asked God to take him out of it. And in this case, he saw it. His eyes started blinking within 10 seconds, which is a sign that he's coming back.
Hey, baby.
Okay. He came out of it.
Yeah, they're still
on the way. They are? This was really unexpected for Albert to go in seizure. So, yeah, he's out.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he's out. Apparently she called and said, my little guy's having a seizure. And they said, oh, let me guess, 9:30 Simon Drive. Kristen, where's your breakfast?
I ate it.
Oh, okay. Well, sit down for a minute. Alex? Alex? She's drying her hair.
Albert. Let's get a towel too.
James? Breakfast. You guys agree, right? He's looking good.
Oh, Dad, he's looking better than I've read on him the last three or four times.
That's what happens when you pray on people.
Yeah.
They look better than they did. That was what they call a focal motor seizure that's caused by irregular brain activity, which is, unfortunately, a side effect. Not always, but in his case, of his cerebral palsy. And be it a mild one, we have to take every one of them very seriously because we never know if it'll just keep on going. And if it keeps on going, we're in trouble. Look at you smiling. All righty. All righty. She has a 2 o'clock occupational therapy appointment, so I'm going to be picking her up from school around 1:45 today, so I'm bringing her back.
Okay?
All right. We're off.
Okay.
All right. Christy, put your seatbelt on. Do you think I'd do okay in family violence? I really would like to try for that. I don't know if I will.
Like, I couldn't see you hitting a woman, like, fake or otherwise, and stabbing her much less. Now, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, yeah, wait.
Okay.
Are you going to give me a note or something?
No.
Okay.
Go. That's
the
first bell. Alexandra, I don't have paper and a pencil. Albert had a seizure. I will call the school.
All right. Please, I know some of you go to the church and stuff like that, and you call me John Michael. When you're in class, call me Mr. Senor Barajas, just to help out, okay? So that everybody on an even playing field sound good? All right. We have a lot of the kids that go to Trinity Church that end up going to Trinity School or vice versa. A Christian school is a lot different than a public school in that it, as far as what you can teach. And like this week, in fact, is Spiritual Emphasis Week. As far as the history, it's all done from a Christian perspective. As far as you know, even the U.S. history and stuff, we use a lot of, most of it's Christian curriculum. It's all, you know, kind of laid out in a way that you know, we look at it from a Christian perspective. First rule in the class is ask questions, okay? Second of all, I know this looks bad because people say there's no such thing as a dumb question. That's not correct. It's cool. Ask me any question about Spanish you want to, okay? But if I feel like you're trying to take me on a rabbit trail or, you know, do stuff like that, then we'll have to have a talk, okay? We have a lot of school kids that are just very, very involved in Hull House. It used to be just because it was plugged more through the church that they would come and, you know, it wasn't, you know, they just more kind of come word of mouth. But now a lot of the school kids are really look forward to Hull House and say, when's Hull House so we can go try out and stuff like that, so.
There's 30 people in the room and you are in hell and you're burning. So let's have some.
Okay. Oh, please. Please take this pain from me. Taking drugs was a way of escaping my problems, but it was just a big lie. If only I'd quit when I had a chance.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, awesome.
There you go.
What you reading, Tom?
Abortion Girl. We're going to need a CTC scan of the abdomen and some blood.
This wasn't supposed to be a big deal. Why can't it just be over?
It will never be over, Jan.
Oh, my baby! I heard my baby crying.
That's right, Jan. It's too late now.
No.
You killed your baby.
Stop.
You're a murderer, Jan!
Settle down, Jan. It's going to be okay.
Now you're all alone. Nobody cares about you.
Take the bed! Stop!
You're going to hell. You're
Please.
Mine!
Okay, am I going to heaven or hell?
You made your own choices, so now you get to go to hell all by yourself.
How could you do this to me? What kind of God are
you?
I'm crying.
That's
good. Very good. Thank you, Alex.
Good.
Pretty quick character change.
Imagine this, she's standing there in auditions and I've got tears and goose pimples and all she did was stand there. I think I'll, in the scene, I'll freak out. Alex, if you get that part, I will freak out. When I see the props and everything, because you were so believable.
First impression.
Was it cold?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
You really sound like you went,
I just
spiritual,
I just don't know.
Yeah, that's true. What? The spiritual aspect. Yeah, that's true.
Acting wise. Acting wise, she's awesome.
Yeah, acting wise, she didn't prove anywhere.
Very good.
You said that I couldn't do it.
No, I didn't say you couldn't do it. I said, I don't know if I can handle it.
Take me home.
You did good. Yes, I'll take you home.
I want to go.
All right.
Should have had her read a death warrant before. Two.
So you can do it.
The Pentecostal movement was birthed really out of the Azusa Street Revival in 1906 in Los Angeles. For a period of time, there was no real denomination. There was a black bishop that was in the Church of God in Christ that was ordaining and sending out people who'd been filled with the Spirit to be ministers around the country and around the world. But they had a difficult time, some of them, you know, being under a black bishop. And so in 1914, the Assemblies of God started their own denomination. It started in Little Rock, Arkansas. And from that point on, it's been a pretty strong denomination that's really had a great growth rate, probably for the last 10 years. Praise be to you, Father, glorify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The object of Hell House is to do dramas and with sound and smell and sight in a unique way that our culture can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ that maybe they normally might not come. They'll come to see Hell House when they would never walk inside the doors of a church.
Wait, hold on, stop, go back to the gathering. Let's say something like...
So, it's magic cards, but the game is called The Gathering.
I think it says Magic the Gathering on the front.
I'm just putting it role-playing games such as Magic.
The role-playing games like Magic the Gathering.
Introduced her to
role-playing games.
Games such as Magic and the Gathering.
It's called Magic.
The Magic cards? How do you... They're just called...
Magic. They're called Magic. The Gathering.
What?
It's called The Gathering. Magic. The Gathering. Well, just say playing Magic. Okay. Read it.
I've got Kristen right where I want her. The process that has gone on for years. As she read Harry Potter books as a child, she became interested in the other side. At junior high sleepovers, she played with the Ouija board. How do you spell that? O-U-I.
Ouija board.
Then in high school, the kids at her lunch table introduced her to role-playing games such as Magic. That's when I introduced her to Stacy.
Right. I know the occult seems... it is relevant, but it's not relevant to everyone. Because, you know, you come up to most people and say, hey, you want to be a Satanist? And they go, no! You know, but if you come up to a kid that's searching for something and that is, you know, that can easily be sucked in, that has problems with, you know, self-esteem or with, you know, just feels like he doesn't have control of his life.
That's
and he
fine.
And he feels that as a way to get power. There's a lot of interest in the things that the dark side and the powers of the dark side can bring. And kids are falling for those lies all the time.
Whatever you do as a career, if you know God has called you to minister and to minister to others, whether you're behind a pulpit or whether you're ministering in the position or career that you're in, that is your calling. And I felt like that He called me to police work 20 years ago, and specifically to do law enforcement type of employment, but at the same time to minister to those that I come in contact with. Well, when I first started with Hell House the first year, I actually was asked to be there for security purposes, not in a uniformed aspect, but just in street clothes and to be there in case there's any problems. And it evolved from that to jumping in and doing the construction and the operations end of it as well. And, of course, the guns were a part of that. You know, gun safety was a first. About a 2-foot range. I still kind of keep an eye out as far as security issues on the Saturday nights when we get some of the groups that come in there and they're intoxicated or drunk and they're being rowdy, but usually they're managed well. And, you know, I'll keep an eye on them as they go through on the television sets and make sure that they get in and out without any problems. So there's a small part of the security aspect still there, but probably my involvement in the larger end of things is just the construction and the operations part. Oh,
no step here. This will be the first half of family violence where mom and dad have an argument over mom's affair that dad discovers.
This is going to be just, we'll probably make this into a tunnel. I don't know if we're going to go out and in, but we'll come back in here. The crucifixion is going to be right here. Coffins are going to end right here.
No.
End over here by the lights.
So we leave family violence, and this hasn't been framed yet, but this area here will be the drunk driving scene. There'll be a car that will be crashed into the tree here, and the bodies and so forth laid out.
Then we're going to walk into hell. The actual cutting on the floor, we're going to do with the plexiglass, you know, if and when we do it. It's going to be directly in front of us, where the people who are watching are going to be looking right down in, seeing people trapped, and give them a sense of entrapment themselves. I really want to emphasize that more than anything in here. Like, there's no, absolutely no escape.
Move that to the middle.
Push it up.
Go ahead and put the styrofoam there now, and we'll paint it tomorrow morning. You also need red paint, don't you, for the pentagram and all that stuff that goes there?
You gonna use wet red? I said white.
White? They don't do white.
Black and white. Why not?
They just don't. I don't think.
Yeah, they do. White? Yeah.
That warlock that came through a few years ago, he.
Not
complained.
Everything is like
He complained because he had white stuff in it, and we had two or three white candles, and he was walking through saying, there's no white in any occult scene. It's like a cult situation.
I don't even know what I'm thinking anymore. Get me out of here.
Is that why you bought the white paint there?
No, that is not why. I don't know. That was an accident. See,
I'm getting to know where the white paint came from.
No, that's not it at all. That is not it at all.
Okay. That's okay.
This is the rave slash suicide scene. I've been doing the Hell House for about 2 years, a little bit over 2 years. I realized there were some things in Hell House that weren't being portrayed that were from my past. The underground scene, the electronic scene, the rave scene, that whole image wasn't being portrayed. And it took a while to convince Tim that because he didn't know, I don't think he really knew it existed to the teenagers, which is what is the heartbeat of the rave scene or teenagers.
It's going to look pretty cool. We're just like all the other scenes, we're going to have some plastic down each wall. But there will be a DJ, which I've played the last couple years. They'll have a makeshift turntable area. I don't know if we'll use these lights. Yeah, I'll probably stick some black lights up, and that would be great. And I'm actually thinking about renting a water tank. You know, have someone underwater dance or something neat every year. What happens at a rave scene that I've seen more than anything is people will just take what's put in their hand. I have no idea what they're taking. There have been times when I've left a rave and literally just... You know, they'd have to drag a couple dozen bodies out. You know, maybe not that many. I exaggerate a little bit, but maybe, you know, 8 to 10 bodies a rave. At more dangerous ones, you would see, especially local ones. And you could see the drug paraphernalia all over the floor. But in this in particular scene, it's a date rape drug, which unfortunately you don't really find just in raves anymore. That's found everywhere.
What is that drug?
I don't know. I can't remember the name of it. Tim knows what it is, which, and to be honest with you, I don't know if it's the phrase itself, the name of it's going to be said in the script. I haven't seen the new script written yet. I haven't had a chance to go over it, but I do know that the date rape drug itself, it's considered, I guess you could say, technically, officially, scientifically, in society, it is going to be an official date rape drug.
You're the guy who rapes the girl.
I'm trying to work out my kinks here. I don't know who's doing what. I got two different roles here, and I'm just a little confused. I think it's
right now. I played the rave suicide girl. I know this much that it's like rave, dancing, date rape, and then suicide. But that's a lot to fit in one scene, so I don't really know how it works.
Do I get some?
Huh?
Some candy. I didn't catch any last time.
I can't give you any.
You didn't throw me some
candy. I do not have any. I'm sorry.
Do you have any left?
I cannot give anything. That's the thing. I have to wait. You have to wait for the next touchdown.
No exceptions for Dad.
The presence of the devil is very real. My mother was seeing another man while she was still married to my father. I met him frequently, and a lot of bad things happened there, and it turned out being a lot more than it should have, to the point where legal people got involved and they got the cases confused, and we were taken away from my father for 1 month and put in a foster home in Bonham, Texas, and it was horrible. The entire time I was there, it was as if I woke up and I didn't want anything more than to go to sleep again. It was horrible. I wasn't allowed to talk to my dad. I couldn't talk to anybody. I believe it. Suffering really does bring you closer to Jesus, because when you have nowhere else to go, then it really demonstrates, it really helps you realize how much He does love you in situations like this. No matter what happens to you, He'll always be there.
The script basically on here, this is just an idea to give everyone, for the people who have no idea what happens in the rave scene, this is just to give them an idea of what happens. We're not going to go like exactly word for word by it, because if we did, no one would buy it. This is just someone who wrote it that didn't, I didn't get to sit down with them, they didn't sit down with me, so.
And so then he's going to get real mad and try to choke her, and then he's not going to be able to, she gets free, and then he gets a knife and stabs her.
So the girl doesn't die this time?
No, the daughter is just in one scene, the first scene, or she doesn't. The mom shares the two scenes this year and dies in the second scene. Do y'all want to read through it? Welcome to my little house. It's just like any house. Mom is working late. Dad's ignoring the kid. And the kid is with the babysitter, the computer.
Oh, look, over here's the crowd.
I'm worried about the lines.
I know, but we need to worry about the blocking, because look, I'm doing this and you're going.
And I had to move.
Okay, so I need you to stay like right here.
Hold on.
Nothing's going to happen. No one knows we're here, so quit worrying.
Say, man, what's going on in here, huh? What's up? What's up? You know what I want? Look at me. Look at me. This is my part of town. You're selling to my people.
All right, dudes.
And I don't like that.
Take whatever you want, dude. Just leave me and the girl.
I'll take whatever I want. You know why? You know why?
Stop. Boom. That's
why, bro. Because I'm in control here.
Yeah, what's the name of the... Does anybody here remember the name of the drug, the actual name that we're going to be using?
No,
I think that's kind of
it's a Mickey. Slipped on a Mickey.
That's true. I don't know.
Well, a day rip drug doesn't make people spaz out. I've seen girls actually on this thing. I've seen people take this drug. What it's going to do, it's just really going to relax it. You're not going to go unconscious, but it will kind of over-relax you a bit. Kind of like when you drank too much NyQuil.
Oh, look, sweetheart, look. What Jamie was showing me on the computer.
What?
Do you think I'm an idiot? Did you think I'd never find out about this? If you really love Jamie.
Oh, and you love her? You haven't paid attention to either of us in years.
So you get on the internet and start planning some rendezvous with a guy you've never ever met. He could be an axe murderer for all you know. You're an idiot.
Then does he actually rape her? Or is it just like... He's coming on to her.
In particular, 15, 20 seconds, whatever it is, uh-huh. is where you're going to be kind of skeptical, and he isn't forcefully, but with some extent, going to keep you on the couch.
Right.
But you're kind of just going to be, out of it. And the cue for the scream when the actual rape occurs is a quick strobe. And he's going to get up and be like, a sense of pride, and that's going to be like, she's all yours, man, and walk out.
Have some, huh? Is that good? You like to learn in my part of town? Shut up! I say when it's enough!
You go be holding this answer, buddy.
Huh?
And let's go.
You got to really work.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, let's work on our blocking, okay?
Welcome to hell, Erica.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Study. Call you at your house about 2 a.m.
Absolutely.
Here, bud. Come here, King. Baby, I don't have 55 cents. Beeper. I know this kid's going to make me walk to my car and get 50 cents for him. Come here. You want to go to the car and get money? And then we'll come back? Come on. Are y'all coming Saturday? Absolutely.
you know, giving the people what they want to see. Going out there and still knowing you got what it takes to entertain people. Leaving, fortunately, I play a villain, so if the people are leaving hating me, then I did my job. Now, I've got to get ready, leave here and go to church.
This is alternate Steve voice, okay?
Alternate?
Well, it's alternate.
Alternate.
The alternative.
Oh, okay.
Lifestyle guy. No, I'm just kidding.
When I was a kid, my uncle did things to... Oh.
Oh, my God.
That's what it said.
I know, but the way you said it made it sound
so... Do it the same way you did it earlier, please.
I will.
Winner, let's do that one more time.
Okay. That's cool.
When I was a kid, my uncle did things to me.
Do it with your outside that's and make sure nobody's out there looking.
Hey, look. A little bit more natural, but with a real, you know, you're kind of going.
When I was a kid, my uncle did things to me that changed my life. He said I was born that way, and I believed the lie.
He's good.
Good.
I'm editing the soundtracks for the Hell House scenes. Behind the scenes, the actual soundtracks that go in each scene.
Welcome. Your journey has finally brought you to the place of eternal agony. Here you will be subjected to constant torture and everlasting pain. Come, let us meet those who have swallowed the poison of my lies.
What says it? Ecstasy.
Oh.
This one here says Joy Electric. This one here says Jessica and the DJ. This one over here said Acid Burn, which is a name of a hacker from Hackers. This is my name, Thaddeus. You can't tell, but I can see it now. Over there on that wall, I only have one thing there. It says Groovalistic Quick Fix Machine, which actually is the name of my website. So I'd do it on that one, too. And put Oranger on this one.
This is Jessica. This is my girlfriend. And kind of a neat story. We've known each other for a while, but last October, she was the victim in the rave scene, and I was the death monitor, the DJ. And what was really neat, for a whole month, I claimed her soul to hell, and she died under my power. And just shortly after that, we got together, and everything's been great since, and we've been together. At the end of this Hell House, when it's over, that'll mark our one-year anniversary of being together, and we're looking to get married sometime in the next year or so. So she'll be playing the suicide girl from the rave scene, a high-emotion role. So it is one of the hardest, if not the hardest, role to play in all Hell House. Good luck.
It was never really a struggle for me to not have sex before marriage because it was drilled into me all of my life. I mean, I've been here at Trinity at this church since I was 5, and I mean, I've always heard from every pastor, you know, to save yourself for marriage, it's so worth it. And so that was just natural for me. And you know, Robbie didn't expect sex, you know, because once he got saved is when we got together. And so we, you know, saved ourselves for marriage, and it definitely was worth it.
Okay. I'll see you in 40 minutes. Bye. Yeah, 40 minutes. Bye. This is my first boyfriend. I have a boyfriend right now. His name's Aaron, and we've been together for about 2.5 months. And before that, I think that it's pretty petty to date because it's not usually a date because you usually can't drive or anything along those lines. But he can, and we can actually date, so you may say. I mean, some people are like, you know, dating now is a really good idea. It gets you prepared for marriage. But if you actually think about it, one ending relationship after another more prepares you for divorce. But I think that it really helps you decide who you want to marry. Like, it shows you qualities of a person and what you like about people of the opposite sex now. So then later you can place those towards that and be like, I had this once and that's what I want. I want to find someone with that. It's raining. Hey. Do you have an umbrella? Wait, hold on. I'm going to get a plastic bag for my hair. I spent many hours on it this morning. Aaron, actually, he talked to my friend Jordan. So she went, she goes, Stacia's going to talk to you guys and you're going to have the convo about, you know, how far you can go. And so he thought I was going to say, like, we're not allowed to touch, we're not allowed to hold hands, we're not allowed to do anything. So we're sitting there and I was like, I guess you already know what we're going to talk about because Jordan told you. And he's like, yeah, okay, I don't feel that going past making out is appropriate. So I was like, this is what I think for now and I don't think that it's going to change. And he's like, oh, good. He's like, I thought you weren't going to say that we're going to be able to do anything. And I was like, no, that's like, you know, physical affection, that's okay, but you just want to really guard yourself. And he was like, well, that's about how far I would go too. And that is how far I would go, so.
Does anybody here love Jesus this morning? Amen. Amen.
Our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to infect the culture. We are sent to do the same thing Jesus came to do. What is that? Expose the illusion of selfishness and show people God's alternative. Come on, church. We've been building this all year. We are the salt. We are the light. We are the leaven of the earth. And we are here to infiltrate the culture. We are here to expose the feebleness of selfishness and the demonic influence that somehow creates for us this lean towards it, and we're to do it with God's presence and God's precepts.
And I believe that I felt the last couple of weeks like the Lord really wants us to build up our lives through prayer language. And I know that's what I feel like doing. I feel like talking to the Lord in a language that you don't understand, that only He understands. So let's do that for just a couple of minutes, would you? Would you just go to the Lord in your love language? Shore bete de 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 bokotore be si la 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 makia la 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 bokuya si la 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 dore masoto de bakaya.
The experience of speaking in tongues is a language, a gift, if you will, that God has given believers that believe in the full fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and it's an edification between you and God and your communication to God.
Speaking a tongue is just like, almost like speaking in French or German, you know, but it's a language that only God can understand.
It's something that's untainted, that's you've never cussed in or anything like that.
I felt, you know, a burning on the inside of my stomach and just started, you know, coming up through my stomach, and then it started coming out of my mouth, and I was filled with the Spirit, and I'm still filled with the Spirit to this day.
It is. This is on the web. It's got times, and well, actually, this morning I added something to this. Well, I'm putting a certain amount of spooky in it, but I'm trying more to challenge them to come out there rather than scare them. At least that was my twist. You know, are you ready? Are you, you know, can you, will you survive? I think there's an appeal, you know, like 13,000 came, some won't be back. you know, because they couldn't take it. They didn't, you know, handle it. And it's on the web for people to access. You know, media coverage, map. So I've got to spend an inordinate amount of time home now. And, sure, I've been doing something for 20 years, and I'm good at it. You know, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I'm really, really good at it in, you know, taxation. Things change. We have to kind of go with the flow. Kids come first. You know.
So and what was the big change?
Mom. Mom's not with us anymore. There was an internet relationship that burgeoned into meetings in the park or other places. And consequently, the person who was having the internet affair is no longer with us.
No, that's already going to be attached down. How are they going to get in? Is it all boarded up under there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to know.
Well, otherwise you can't contain the smoke. Because it's too much. If they get claustrophobic, they need to have a way out.
Are they going to do that?
Or just try and get all the way down on the ground. Like, lay down sideways or something.
Yeah, watch out for hot lights. Don't touch them.
They're not that hot. They're only 25 watts. Breathe real slow, Jessica.
Okay, now stick your hands up. Push it again. Don't push. Just see that? Nope,
just kind of barely put them up.
Lift your head up a little like you're trying to do a crunch. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you want out? Sorry.
We don't know if we want to let junior hires in there.
Huh?
If their parents see their kids in there, they might flip.
We've been challenged by the word and it stirred up within us. Anybody ever played a sport with me? Card game. Just about anything. I really don't like to lose. And it's not just me. It's not within the nature of man to lose. God created us to win. When he talks about today about pressing toward the mark, and he talks about competing for the prize, that competition nature in us to win is for the kingdom. We're competing for lost souls. We're competing against the darkness for souls that are lost, that he's trying to send to hell, and we're trying to be a partner with God to bring them into eternal life. And there's a war, and there's a battle, and there's a competition, and there's a serious game where life and death is at stake. It's not just you lose and you go home. We can't save people. We don't have that part. Only the Holy Spirit has the ability to save people. We plant seeds. We water seeds. We're competing for lost souls. And we're going to win. We're in this to win. We're not in this just to go through it, just for something else to do. I don't need something else to do. Okay? I want you to begin to lay hands and begin to pray. And once you begin to anoint each person with oil, I'd like for my leaders to spread out in those groups and begin to do that. You know, Oscar and, you know, John Michael and Steve and Ben and all you policemen, just get yourself in a group. So we're going to pray the Holy Spirit will protect you. So pray.
Lord God, Lord, that you lift him up, and Lord, we give him counsel and truth. That we have wisdom, that we have knowledge, that we have guidance, Lord God. That he would seek you and not try to answer questions in his own knowledge. Not try to answer questions. Yeah, I'm a hot kid, 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 I
Not yet. 5 minutes out. 5 minutes out. Places. Looks good.
How many people we have in line?
Two different tour groups.
Line.
Showtime.
Boom.
Okay, we've started. Everybody ready?
Ready.
Go ahead and crank up the rave. Get the rave going. Go ahead, guys. Okay, that's good. Cue the rave back up. Let's go to, we're going to Suicide. Suicide ready? We've started. Drug deal ready? Call ready?
Yeah, yeah. We never find our knife from last year.
The knife that you cut a throat with?
Yes.
Hello, Steven?
Yeah.
Would you look around in the control room or that portable and see if there's a knife that the occult people can use to cut the bride's throat with?
I have a straight razor at my desk.
We'll be careful.
That's probably not what they're looking for right now. Go to hell and see if Jeremy Johnson's big. It was in hell earlier.
Oh my God, I'm dead! Oh my God, look at me! Hi! Are you drinking?
No, I just had a couple of drinks. Nothing big, I promise.
You were drinking, weren't you? Mom and Dad always told you not to drink and drive. Look what you did now! We're dead! You killed us! Look at us!
Go ahead. The music down in the occult just a tad.
Okay, so there's about a 5 minute gap between scenes, everything being like what it should be. Every other scene should have a tour group in it when we're completely filled up. Does that make sense? Okay.
So I should have made it for 49.
Yeah, but we're
cheese nachos. Sure. Cheese nachos, please.
Is that it?
I need a right.
No, you got plenty of time.
Okay.
Plenty of time. Handguns.
Wait, one, two handguns in here.
And one handgun and a shotgun in there.
One handgun right? In there and then one over there. Suicide.
Okay, Christy, you're shooting this gun.
Do you want to load it?
I'll load it up for you the first time, and I'll show you the ejector. Remember, when you look at it, they'll have cardboard on the ends. No metal. Indicates that it is a blank and not a bolt. There's your ejector. If you turn it upside down, they'll all come out. Make sure they all do come out, and then reload. All right, here we go. Benny, go ahead and take that to drugs, and I'll get another gun, and I'll be right there.
Are we ready in the control room? Okay, let's go.
I'll be driving you out there. It is a bumpy ride, so if you keep your hands and feet inside the trailer, I'd appreciate it. If for some reason you fall off the trailer, and we have had this happen, this is what you do. My truck windows are down, you holler at me, I'll stop the truck, back up over you, then keep going.
Here we go.
Groups of 40, what are they expecting tonight?
I don't know.
Do they know how much we have in line?
No, I haven't checked, and I don't think they know.
Do you have a tour guide in there? Good. Showtime. Ugh.
We need to be starting right
There's
now.
There's a group. We should be coming in.
So Oscar, bring them in.
Oscar, open that door and get started now. Open the door.
Turn people in the front! At the gates of yellow line, tell people in the back. Quickly, come on in. Yeah. Come on this way.
Okay, Jeremy, I'm ready for you to read your report. Please bring it up here.
Don't waste your breath on that stupid report. Why don't you just tell them what's really on your mind?
I'm so tired of this.
Jeremy, will you please speak up? I can't understand you.
I gotta get out of here.
Hey, retard, she said speak up.
That's it, Jeremy. That's all you can say. Now finish the problem.
Jeremy, what are you doing?
Ah! job, Jeremy. Now it's time for your eternal trip to hell. Come on!
Ah! Oh, my God! No!
Come on!
Help me! No! No!
Yay! So keep your feet away from me and I won't step on them.
It's like a cattle drive in there. And that's not the idea here. Hold them. They won't start the scene till you get the people in. You want to take this next one or you want me to go in?
I'll take it if you want me.
Go for it. I need you to do something for me. Can you check my phone? Because, you know, if something happens with my little guy, they call in the hospital scene, ironically, and they'll find me, okay? Because that's where Alex is going to be. Okay,
well, I'll
I'm
go
going.
Put this in the hospital.
Yeah, hospital scene in the first aid kit. Just tell the doctor, I don't know who's there, just say, this is John's cellular phone.
You think I was going to let you come into my part of town and sell to my people? Time up. Let's go.
What is between me and you? You leave this girl out of this.
Hey, shut up. Blow your little black head off, boy. Tie him up tight, girl. Because if he comes loose, I'll blow both of y'all out.
Yeah, you real bad. You know you're going to let me and my girl go.
You want me to let y'all go? Well, hey, let me get at her girl first.
Whoa, hey,
shut up. Because the next one's got your name on it, boy.
I don't see you going in the room, Oscar.
Yeah, he is.
There's two groups in the same tunnel.
They're waiting.
There's two groups in the tunnel. One group
going
to the
other. Yes, yes, go.
Come on in. It's visiting hours. Everybody checks in, but not everybody checks out. This is Steve. He thought his homosexual lifestyle was everything a real man could want. But now he's dying of AIDS.
Steve, I'm right here. I'm not going to leave.
Why is this happening to me? Why can't it just be over?
Don't talk like that, Steve. Doctor, I need you. We've got an emergency over here.
Yes, sir. What do we have here?
Her name is Jan. She's 17 years old. She took the new abortion pill RU486 2 days ago. She's been bleeding ever since this morning, complains of severe abdominal cramps, and her blood pressure is 80 over 60.
Why won't the bleeding stop? Matt said this wouldn't be a big deal. It was just a stupid pill. Why can't this just be over? It'll never be over, Jan.
Steve.
No.
What's the matter? Are you okay?
I keep having these nightmares of burning in hell. Why can't it just die in peace?
Just a little taste of what's in store for you, Stevie boy.
Steve, don't you understand? This is God talking to you. He doesn't want you to burn in hell. Please, Steve, give your life to Jesus. Don't waste your last chance. Please, somebody help me.
It's too late, Jan. You're going to hell. You're mine.
God, help me.
What are you doing here, Jan? Mine.
I hate you, God.
No,
you did this to me.
Jesus, save me. She's not yours anymore.
Can I ask you to step off? We'll get her right here. All right. What's up, Ron? Maybe get her on. Come around. We're going to help you up here, okay? Come around.
Slip in, Sal.
School shooting?
Yeah, school shooting's the best. It's probably the best part would be Jeremy.
I could be a Jeremy.
Tour guy. It's the funnest one.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's Jamie.
My family pilot.
Yeah, it's a gay girl.
Yeah, because you get to go face phones with your dad.
It's
yeah.
Rachel.
The right thing's the best because you get to dance.
Great. I don't know. I'm not really into this scene. It's kind of more than I thought it was going to be. I'm thinking about going home in a little bit.
You cannot leave me. You got to stay. You promise. And you can't just put those ties up there. They've been checking you out the whole time.
See, I do not want to make cuts tonight. No.
Trust me. I'll stay with you.
Hey. Hey. What's up? What's your name?
I'm Jessica.
Jessica? I'm yeah. Chad. What's wrong? You don't look like having too much fun.
This is my first rave, and a little bit more than I expected.
I understand. Here, try some of this. I took some earlier. It'll kind of relax you a little bit and loosen you up. How do you like it?
Woo.
Good stuff, isn't it? Come on. Yeah.
Oh,
biblical reach in the last 17 days, about 10,000 people have visited this controversial Halloween production. Controversial because of scenes like this. They're graphic because they depict scenes like sacrifice, human sacrifice in the occult.
We can only portray so much, you know, with makeup and corny lines and soundtracks, but God does the difference for us. He speaks his message. We just show up and he does the rest.
Well, we were going through the hospital scene and I guess it was the abortion scene. It just looked really lifelike and real, and I got real sick at my stomach and I just started to faint. But I had two miscarriages before we had her. She's our miracle baby. And it just was so lifelike that it just brought back some memories to me, and I just passed out, so...
Can I say what you thought about it on film afterwards?
Because I think in each individual's walk with God is within themselves and with the Lord. And this was a force and a pressure to go when that choice is already within you.
Welcome home, Jessica. Did you have fun tonight?
I'm all alone. Oh, God, what am I going to do?
Poor Jessica. You could go to the police and tell them that you were raped. But then again, you don't know how many guys had you tonight, and you don't remember one of them. But Jessica, you should be used to it by now. Remember what your daddy used to do to you when you were a little girl?
I just can't think of anything.
You're worthless, Jessica. Your life is worthless. What kind of a God would allow this to happen to you, Jessica?
What kind of a God are you? Anyway.
He wasn't there for you, Jessica.
I can't do that.
So you're in control of your life now, and you can make the pain go all the way. Do it, Jessica.
I want to die.
Do it, Jessica.
I want to die.
Do it now, Jessica. There, Jessica. Now isn't that better? Goodbye, Jessica. We'll see you in hell.
I believe
you just say, well, who is right, who is wrong? Nobody says
Jesus Christ is right, and if you actually seek him,
how is he right?
And pray him.
How is he right?
Sir, this is what we're saying.
Yeah, no, I'm not forcing
you. How about this? Who's to say what is a sin? What is right for one person may be wrong for another. What is right for them may be wrong for them. Who's to say what is a sin?
What's a sin? The Bible says that whenever they translated from the Hebrew text into the King James Version,
the Catholic Church is 2,000 years old. The Protestant Church broke off. If there was not a Catholic Church, you Protestants wouldn't even have a Bible.
Yes, I am on the way.
You get it.
That's fucking bullshit. That's stereotypical Christian faggot shit. Okay? The fucking whole shit with the fucking faggot dying.
Right.
I was fucking offended by that. I got gay friends.
Okay.
Who's to say if you're gay you're gonna go to hell or heaven? Who's to say that?
His choice
was to be gay.
His choice
so going to hell.
Was the life of homosexuality. What does the Bible say about homosexuality?
What's wrong with being gay? What if I said I was gay? I'm offended by that.
No. Okay, sir. But Christian,
what if I said I was gay?
No.
I'm offended by that.
Back off.
What would you do then?
Listen to me.
Oh, you're going to hell, my son.
Listen to me.
Sir. No.
Listen to me.
Go ahead.
It's okay. No, it's cool. It's cool.
You know?
I can respect what he's saying. I guess my question is, what did you think Hell House was presenting when you came into it tonight?
If things are gonna be fucking stereotypical like that, oh fuck me.
Because I've met Christians that are actually very open-minded
about
things.
Yeah, we have a friend.
This is why people are so turned off to the Christian religion, with that in there, the way it seems that they're stereotyping that, okay, if you're gay, you're going to hell, unless you say, okay, I'm no longer gay, I was not born this way, whatnot. You make it too cut and dry, too black and white. There's no gray area. It's like you don't have that gray area, which is what life is.
Yeah,
because
like suicide scene. That girl is extremely, extremely depressed. Our natural thing is self-preservation. Committing suicide is obviously not self-preservation.
Yeah, it's also saying you also go to hell for killing yourself.
Yes, exactly. And you're saying you go to hell for killing yourself. But at the same time, if you're not in the right mental state, how can that be judged appropriately?
And also,
that particular scene, let me address your question, I'll answer yours. That particular scene addresses her rejecting God. What led up to that was the rave scene, was the drugs. What we're showing in that scene is the people that went to raves, they made the wrong choice, and the consequence was they were depressed. Had she made the right choices and not got involved in the drugs, not
she
got involved
God
in the
God doesn't scene, control every aspect of your life. We have free
you make
will.
The choice.
I've been to like 5 or 6 raves. It's not that bad. I've never done drugs at a rave.
Mm-hmm.
I've never gone in and had sex, you know, illicit sex at a rave. None of that. And it's like you said, like, it's like in the rave, it was almost like you were saying, okay, you go to a rave, you're going to get raped.
Yeah, bitch, yeah.
Like, obviously, you can go to a rave and make right choices. You did that. We're just saying that some people in some cases like that will make the wrong decisions. You know, the bottom line of this whole thing is, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Either you have it or you don't. And he only, at the judgment gates, just like you saw in there tonight, will make that decision. None of us here are making any decisions. No media people will make decisions. You know, your friends won't make decisions for you. Only you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's all it is. That's the bottom line.
Okay. Well,
I appreciate you guys talking to me.
Yeah, let's go.
I need a cigarette.
Okay, thanks.
So I talked to him. I told him I was having a moment. So I'm just going to go through.
Oh, no?
Yeah. I'm going to go through, for me, well, I practically know every line and every scene by heart. But it's different when you're tour guide versus the guest. You know, we're concentrated on our guests and trying to get that person. And time for me to go for me, you know, at least once. Which is why you're going now. Right?
Come on in. Knock, knock. Anyone home? Come on.
Welcome to my little house.
Oh my gosh.
What are you oh my goshing about over there, girl?
Nothing, Dad. I'm just checking my emails.
Checking your emails. We'll see about that. What don't you want me to see, girl?
I hate you!
Shut up!
You shut up!
Jamie, your mother's cheating on me.
No, she's not.
Jamie, I told your mother if she ever cheated on me, I'd kill her.
Jamie, what's wrong?
Yeah, he's drinking again.
Get over here,
Erica. Go on, mate. What are you
doing there?
Stop it!
You think I'd never find out, Erica? This guy can be an axe murderer for all you know. You're an idiot!
I'm an idiot!
And a tramp!
Yeah, well, at least Jim acts like he knows how to treat a woman. That's more than I can say for you. You know what? I don't need this. I'm out of here.
No, Walt, please don't leave me.
Where do you think you're going?
Don't leave me.
Where do you think you're going?
Get your hands off of me! Come! I'll be back. I promise. I've got to go, but I'll come back for you. I promise.
Don't leave me.
There you go, Erica. Run, run, run.
He likes me. And reign with him forever.
What's she doing there?
They're trying to tell us to stop the track because we're ahead of him.
Do you know where you will go when you die?
Can you fast forward the coffin sound?
Yeah, he can skip some sound in there.
Welcome to eternity.
What is this place? If this is heaven, it's not how I imagined it.
Steve, even though your sins were many, you called on my son's name on your deathbed. I heard your cry, and your name is in the book of life.
I don't deserve your forgiveness. Thank you so much.
There is nothing you could have done to make me stop loving you. Come and see what I have waiting for you.
What about the rest of us? What are we supposed to do?
You each have many chances to respond to my call on the earth. Remember the times that people try to tell you about me? They showed you my son who died on the cross for your pain. The blood of my son would have covered your sins, but you chose the easy way out. Since you rejected my son, you have no place in my kingdom. Depart from me. I do not know you.
Yep, now they go into heaven. That was quick. Good. Quick coffin trip there.
Yeah.
Your journey has finally brought you to the place of eternal agony. Here you will be subjected to constant torture and everlasting pain. Come, let us meet those who have swallowed the poison of my lies.
When I was a kid, my uncle did things to me that changed my life. He said I was born that way, and I believed the lie.
Ace, you fool!
I thought that suicide was the answer. I thought it would end all the pain, but now I live in nothing but pain and agony.
Help me!
Looks like you jumped out of the frying pan. Right into the fire.
I was so wrong. Please go and warn our friends.
How y'all doing? Can I get your line up over here, please? Yeah, straight line as possible. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Don't lean against it, though, please. How's everyone doing? My name is Larry. I want to thank you all for coming to Hell House 10. From this point on, there is no more masks, death monitors, or gunshots. But this is the most important part of the whole tour. So I'm going to ask a favor from you, please. Your full attention. This is not a scare tactic. This is not a guilt trip that we're trying to play on you. Okay? What this is about, as you saw in each scene, someone died. And when they died, they went to either heaven or hell. There are people in the next room waiting to pray with you should you walk to the door, the question I'm about to ask you. If you were to die tonight, do you know where you will go? Or do you think that you know? Because if you think that you know, then you're taking a chance with your soul for eternity. So my question is this. By walking through that door, you're seeing one or two things. I want to get right with the Lord, because if I were to die tonight, I don't know where I would go. Or I'm through playing games. If this is you, I want to ask you to step through the door now. You got 6 seconds. 5 seconds. Which is it easier to do? Stay here knowing what you know that you've done and you've not got right with God, or go through that door knowing what's tugging at you? You got 3 seconds. I got another group coming. 2 seconds. 1. I'm closing. By standing here and saying one or two things, Larry, I don't care, I'm just hot and tired, I want to get out of here. Oh, yes, Jesus, Lord and Savior of your life.
It's really a relationship with God. And when you spend the time with Jesus, he changes your life, and so you can change other people's lives. It's so cool, because being set free and just being able to know the fact that when we die, we can go to heaven to be with Jesus, it's so awesome. It's radical, yeah, it's radical. It's so cool.
Now, see how deep it goes. Forgiveness. How do you weigh forgiveness, loneliness, the responsibility of the kids and all that? You know, so.
Praying for them is a very good way to help you forgive them. Because when you're praying for them, you're taking them out of your heart and you're asking God to help you to forgive them and to help you to love them. That's the best way.
Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would anoint him, Father God, with a fresh anointing, Father God, that he's never had before, God, and that your spirit and power would walk with him and walk through him and work through him, God, in the name of Jesus, by your spirit, that he would walk in your spirit, Father God. And you said, when we walk in your spirit,
I truly believe that the end times
are right upon us and they're happening right now.
He talks about in the Bible. He says, you look at the clouds, you say it's going to rain.
I'm not a theologian or a historian by any means, but simply just through revelations and seeing what's going on in the world today, I think that there's some clear predictors of what was prophesied and where we're at.
With rape, with suicide, with abortion, with homosexuality, with school shooting, with all these things. The world is the worst that it has ever been. It's an ugly, evil world, and that's a scary thing, but at the same time, it's a good thing because that means that Jesus is close to coming, and he's about to come back for his bride.
When will Jesus actually come for the rapture? How will we know that? I believe you'll know it when just people are just missing on the earth. They'll be gone. You won't see anything. You won't. It says it'll happen in a twinkling of an eye, in an instant. You know how long it takes to twinkle an eye? They'll just be gone. How that happens, I don't know. I'm not God.
Thank you.